So here at the Verdict Cafe, in a few days in the run-up to the Fringe, with Rosie Wakeley, who we're doing an update interview from Edinburgh, really, where All the Nice Girls was a real hit at Sweet Venues. I think probably took you both by surprise a bit, as it's continued to sell out. But you haven't stopped there. You have a new show, as well as All the Nice Girls, here at the Fringe. So just give us an update.
That's right. As well as All the Nice Girls, which we're performing at Sweet Venues, we're going to be doing a new show called Deep in the Heart of Me, which is also a kind of musical theatre presentation, like All the Nice Girls, except we've updated it and we're doing songs from the sort of 50s and 60s, kind of Rat Patty type material.
How did the whole thing, go back to All the Nice Girls, give it to people that don't know, how did the story emerge? How did this happen?
Well, All the Nice Girls was prompted by Ali's research into two characters called Gwen Farah and Nora Blaney, who were really big stars of Variety and Review in the 1920s. They were partners on and off the stage, and they sold out at the London Palladium. But nobody's really heard of them now, so we found a little, tiny little clip of silent home movie footage on YouTube, and we were inspired to write a whole show based on that.
Go a bit more detail. Who said, from that's interesting, to let's actually make a show about this?
I think, Ali was in an amateur production in Salisbury of Oh, What a Lovely War. And as part of that, she had to do some background research, and she found that a lot of the songs in Oh, What a Lovely War were sung by Ella Shields. And it was that initial inquiry that led us to the Gwen and Nora footage on YouTube. And I think Ali just said, oh, this is fascinating, you know, I'd really like to know more about these two. Why don't we do a show? And I said, yeah, let's do that, because then I could see there would be a lot of dressing up opportunity of the sort of 1920s Variety Review, top hats and tails, sailor suits, army uniforms. Great, I thought.
And so you decide to make a show of it, and I guess even though this is historical, we're in a world where certain countries, you know, will absolutely put people in prison for their sense of identity, and there's also, even in the UK, the word still about outing, suggesting the need still to be secret and there still being a problem. What, are you surprised that there is still so much kind of tension around the whole LGBT thing, even as we're in Brighton, where it just wears itself very proudly, you know, in Pride and all year round through Pink Fringe and so on? There is still at the heart of British culture, other cultures, a sort of trauma around it.
There is, and it's worrying. I mean, we're very lucky in Brighton to be in our Brighton bubble. We've done lots of shows around the country, mostly at LGBT events, where it's been well received. But I know what you're saying. You don't have to go very far outside Brighton to encounter a different sort of attitude towards it. I think one of the aims, if you like, of our productions is to try and bring lesbian performance, lesbian issues, lesbian life, not even issues really, just lesbian life, which is much the same as anybody else's life, into people's consciousness. You know, one of the joys about All the Nice Girls is that it's essentially a love story. There's a historical element to it, but it's a love story between these two women. And people love a love story. And I think if you just get past the fact that it's two women, then people get sucked into the emotional stuff and the story, you know, it's a good story.
And still sticking with All the Nice Girls, you both really look like you're enjoying it on stage.
Yeah, we love it. What's not to like? I mean, the song, a lot of the songs are original songs from Gwen and Nora, which haven't been heard since they did them.
Gwen and Nora, say who they are.
Gwen Farah and Nora Blaney, yeah. So they did some duets, and we've reinvented those. And we've also done other songs popular of the age, and songs by Ella Shields, as I mentioned before. Things like If You Knew Susie Like I Knew Susie, yeah. And Bashful Johnny. Things like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's fun. There's a lot of fun to be had, but it's got pathos as well. And I think that balance of fun, we're having a good time, we want you to have a good time. There's an audience participation bit where people join in and encouraged to join in. Yeah. I think that enjoyment and that authenticity comes across to the audience. But we don't lose the pathos, because there's some sad bits in it too.
Now, as you keep touring this, you know, show after show, how do you keep it fresh? How do you not rest on your laurels?
Well, since last year's Fringe, we've actually altered it a few times based on feedback that we've had. So it stays fresh because it's been honed. I think we're at a stage now where we're happy with it, although I'm sure other people might have things to say if they haven't seen it before. But so it's kept fresh because we've changed it. It's kept fresh because we believe in it, I think. We believe, you know, we think that it's a good show. We think it's a great story. And we love that we're bringing this slice of historical lesbian life and our lives, because it crossovers into our lives as well, to the great British public.
How do you warm up, just before you go on?
Well, I have to do a vocal warm-up because I'm a singer more than an actor. I started singing before I started acting. Ali's more of an actor than a singer, although she did do a choral scholarship at Cambridge, but she kind of sounds like Julie Andrews all the time, which isn't a bad thing, but not if you're doing music hall. So we have to do more vocal warm-up. And that's it, really. Quite often with this Fringe stuff, you don't have much time before the show because there's a lot of quick change around. So I make time to go outside and be on my own and warm up and get into the zone. And then we just do it.
And so I guess anyone would also advise anyone who's done a successful show in Edinburgh not to rest on your laurels and just do one show and to look for the next one. So Build Me a Bridge from All the Nice Girls to Deep in the Heart of Me.
Well, I think we just thought, what are we going to do next? And then this story, Deep in the Heart of Me, is like a modern-day Shirley Valentine, and it's based a bit on a sort of autobiographical story of how Ali and I met in Lesbos and the consequences of that. I'm not going to give all the story away.
Okay, but so there's much more of a personal angle on this one.
Absolutely. I mean, it is very personal. It's quite exposing in some ways, because obviously if you're telling your own story, it's going to be exposing. But once again, it's about real issues that affect everybody. It's not just about lesbian issues. We're just ordinary people having ordinary lives. But there's a definite story to be told here that I think people will relate to.
Artists, of course, do that more or less. They put themselves into their work and then they put themselves out there. So what has putting such personal stuff into the public domain, how's that kind of rebounded back on you, good or bad?
Well, with All the Nice Girls, it hasn't really, because everyone just really loves it and it's fun and it's all been positive. Deep in the Heart of Me is quite personal, and it's about us getting together and Ali leaving her family, which, of course, there may be some kickback from that. But they're not unusual issues. I think we don't know, because we haven't actually performed Deep in the Heart of Me yet, so we'll find out on Saturday.
In creating it, has it kind of had a resolving effect in any way on you or Ali?
Well, I don't think so, because I think we're happy with the issues that it covers. I think bringing them into the public domain is quite a bold step, but I think we do want to see more lesbian drama played for real. Because often when you have things on telly like, I've forgotten what it's called, the Sarah Lancashire thing.
Oh, blimey, I don't know.
Halifax.
Yes, the Halifax thing. Yeah, Last Tango in Halifax. Last Tango.
Thank you very much, Sandra, there.
Last Tango in Halifax. And the nurses, the midwives, Call the Midwife. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They both had really nice... for lesbian story lines, where we thought, yes, thank goodness there's a real lesbian in this and they're having a proper life and it's all good. And both of them ended in tragedy. Like, you know, in Last Tango in Halifax, they got married and then she got run over the next day, practically. And it was like, what? And then in Call the Midwife, the woman had a terrible accident. It was like... And we don't want stories to always be depicted like that. You know, why can't we have a happy ending? There are happy endings in lesbian lives, and we'd like to show you that.
I can't ask another question after that, so thanks ever so much.
Thank you very much.